Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening, we talk about a unique program in the Lehigh Valley that was established to create positive change for women and families in a safe community by providing youth adult offenders and their families with the opportunity to build healthy, productive lives. The Program for Women and Families is a nonprofit organization committed to providing effective programs that provide self-sufficiency, build and strengthen families, and improve the quality of life for everyone in the community. To help us learn more about this cutting-edge program is my guest this evening, Dr. Joyce Dougherty. Dr. Joyce Dougherty has served as the executive director of the Program for Women and Families since 1998, when she left her tenured position at Moravian College as head of the college's criminal justice program and chair of the Department of Sociology. It is a pleasure to welcome to WDIY Dr. Joyce Dougherty.
Thank you, Ellie. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, tell us something about the program, and what do you believe the mission is of the program?
Well, I think you spoke fairly well to our mission. It is to create a safe community. It's about the community, but it's also about providing youth, adult offenders, both men and women, and their families with opportunities to build healthy, productive lives. It's about helping people learn how to change the way they think about themselves, the way they think about their lives, opening doors and opportunities for them.
So you work with women in who have committed an offense.
Yes.
And they are, you find them in the criminal system.
Yes.
And how do you find them? How do you work with them? Are they people who have what kinds of crimes have they committed? Are they addicted? What kinds of criminal things do you deal with?
Well, the focus of our work is at the local level of criminal justice, which means we're not dealing with serious violent offenders. A couple of years ago, we actually expanded our mission to include men. So our mission is adult offenders, not just women, but for many years, we started in 1980 as a branch office of the Program for Female Offenders, so the vast majority of our experience has been with women offenders. Vast majority do have a history of addiction. In the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years, we've seen an enormous increase in women who have mental health issues, lack of education, single mothers, history of violence in the family. The crimes are low level, prostitution, retail theft, repeat offenders. They've been in the system for a long time. And many of them, you know, we talked a little bit earlier before the show, aren't ready to change. They're in a pattern, and they haven't really had anyone present to them the idea of what their options and what their opportunities are, and that's what we try to do.
So, but you have many very interesting programs that you offer, and the question is, first of all, what are the programs?
Okay.
And then the second question is, how do you get them to accept and say, yeah, that's a good idea?
Two-part question. We break down our current services into our youth services. So we have a program called Alpha, which is specifically for youth who are on probation in Lehigh County.
What ages does that encompass?
You know, that can be as young as 14. That's unusual. Usually about 16, 17, 18 years old. There's academic instruction, GED prep. All of these youth have either dropped out of school or been expelled from school. There's life skills instruction, behavioral instruction, value clarification.
And what do you mean by life skills?
Basic how to balance a checkbook, problem solving, fundamental problem solving, anger management and conflict management. The kinds of things I think a lot of us take for granted in our daily life in terms of how do you resolve this situation without getting into a fight? How do you resolve a stressful situation without turning to drugs or alcohol? How do you avoid a group or people who may not be the best people to hang around with? How do you, do well in school? How do you stay focused? There's GED prep and academic instruction. A lot of the youth come to us reading below grade level, and so it's important for us to raise their educational functioning.
And if
levels.
They're not reading and they know they're not and they feel uncomfortable, that has something to do with their self-confidence and their attitude towards them, towards themselves and their ability to achieve.
It does. This spring we had a wonderful, in our Alpha program, a group of women from the AAUW, American Association of University Women, came and donated books. And one of the young men in the program, there were books, one was in Spanish and one was in English, and he was, I've never owned a book of my own. He never owned a book of his own. He said, could I take the Spanish version so I can take it home and I can read with my grandmother? I think sometimes it's hard to kind of wrap your head around the idea of where the clients that we work with, both the youth and the adults, where they are in their lives. And to have someone say, I've never owned a book. And it isn't because there's a Kindle and it's all automated or, digital. It's just how they've grown up. Another one of our youth programs, which is relatively new, is our Strengthening the Potential of Promising Youth. We call it our SPY program.
SPY?
SPY, Strengthening the Potential of Promising Youth.
Oh, okay.
like to come up with those.
Yes. I thought you were training them to be spies.
Yeah, no.
Say that again.
Strengthening the Potential of Promising Youth. And that really is specifically for youth who are out of school, who've dropped out of school, but are not involved in the justice system. So, and what we're finding is there are kids who just simply are not comfortable in school. They don't fit into school. They need more individualized attention. And the focus of that program is academic instruction. If they need educational functioning levels raised, job readiness instruction, helping them find a job, write a resume.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening, we're talking about a very remarkable program in the Lehigh Valley that was established to create positive change for women, families, and youth in the Lehigh Valley, and helping them to lead and build healthy, productive lives. And we were just talking about the Alpha program. And how do people come to you? How do they, I've been in school, and there's so many young people who feel badly about themselves. They have difficulty learning to read. The focus in the classroom is on preparing for the test. And they can't read the test.
Right.
And they can't, if they can't read the test, they can't choose the answer. And if the answers become unimportant anyway because it doesn't make sense to them, and they feel badly about themselves. How do you help these young people to achieve?
Well, the Alpha program is completely referrals from Lehigh County Juvenile Probation. The SPY program, Strengthening the Potential of Promising Youth, is open to anyone in the community. So if you're a young person or you are the parent of a young person who's struggling in school, on the verge of dropping out or has dropped out, you can contact us directly. You can call us at 610-433-6556. Talk to us about what the issues are with you, if you're the youth or the parent. And we'll see if it's a good fit, if what we're doing can help. And if not, we have a huge referral network, and we can make sure that we find the right place for you to go to get help.
Because many of these young people have not been picked up with learning problems. They're not unintelligent. They're very intelligent, but they learn differently.
Exactly.
And it has not been captured in the classroom, because teachers are unwilling. It's just that they have an agenda in these days to focus on what the state requires, which is to prepare for the test, and they get lost. And the other thing is, sometimes young people don't want to admit, so they go undercover, so to speak.
Yep.
And their answer is, I didn't do my homework, and they're not discovered.
I think one of the strengths of the work that we do with youth is that there is a huge amount of one-on-one attention. The classrooms are small. And so even in that setting, we have youth, as you describe. When the instructor says, does anyone need me to repeat this, or does everyone understand it? She'll look around the room and make that eye contact where, you know, she knows there's a young man who's not willing to stand up and say, I need more help. But she'll make the eye contact and she'll say, well, let me go over it one more time so everyone gets it. So that there is that sense of, we're not going to point out, oh, Johnny, you don't understand it, so I'm going to go over it so you understand it. I think that's part of building the confidence.
And we're going to talk more about the unique program for women and families and young adults when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
You're listening to WDIY, Community Public Radio for the Lehigh Valley. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking about a very unique and wonderful program in the Lehigh Valley that was established to create positive change for women and their families and to create a safe community by providing youth and adult offenders and their families with the opportunities to rebuild healthy, productive lives. And we were just talking with my guest, Dr. Joyce Dougherty, who is the executive director of the program for women and families. And in the first part, we were talking about some of the services that you offer and the programs that you offer for young people. What about the women offenders, and how are they given second chances and opportunities to recreate their lives?
We've been working with women offenders for over 30 years now, and it really has evolved enormously in terms of the kind of programming that's done. I think back in the 80s when the program was established, the thought was, if a woman is coming out of prison, the only thing she really needs is a job. Today, it's working on basic skills, thinking patterns. There's a term that's used now. It's getting smart on crime. My background from Moravian is sociology and criminology. Criminologists have come so far in the last 5-10 years in terms of research, finding programming that works. I often use the term evidence-based programs, and people look at me like, what is that? And what it means is that professional researchers have studied a program and been able to document that it's effective on a specific target population. So we are very, and always have been, very sensitive to the need to be responsive to gender. In other words, if we're working with women, it has to be a program that was designed for women and effective on with women offenders. We're now working with men, and the same applies there.
Dr. Dougherty, what I'd like you to do is give us an example of how you deal with that. Let's take a particular woman, a true story, but no names or anything of that sort, or a general. How do you work with a woman? Let's say she's been in prison, and the crime has been what?
Drug-related and prostitution. How about that?
All right.
That's pretty typical.
All right. And she's about how old?
Mid to late 20s.
Mid to late 20s. And how does she come to you? Do you come to her? How does the whole program get involved?
I'll use a real example here. I won't use her name. But she's doing phenomenally well right now. She was ordered into our day reporting program. Unfortunately, that program is not available anymore. There were some funding cuts. But she was ordered into that program, comprehensive program, parenting, job readiness, cognitive behavioral instruction, very comprehensive, a full day of classroom instruction, followed by weeks of job readiness. She did not make it through the program initially. She failed and she went back to prison. She came back. And I think one of the keys in terms of motivating, in terms of this idea of giving people an opportunity to change, is that you don't judge them. It's like you failed. It's like, no, it's great. You're back. Let's try again. Let's start over. And that's exactly what she did. And she successfully graduated. And then she moved into our transitional residence. That is a completely voluntary program. We take referrals from all over the community. It's a transitional residence, but it's a program. So it provides employment counseling, housing counseling. We work with the children. It's a program as well as an affordable house.
When you say you take referrals from all over the community, does that mean that they do not have to have been incarcerated?
That's true.
So yes. maybe they're finding it difficult to...
Homeless. They have to be homeless.
They have to be homeless. That's the criteria.
Yeah, they have to be homeless. We accept women with children. And we really... You know, we're looking at women who may have had experience in the criminal justice system, been in and out of the system, or may not, and just simply have been living a kind of high-risk lifestyle or had a disability that has put them at risk, intellectual disability, that kind of thing. The young woman that I spoke about, you know, had been struggling with addiction, alcohol, primarily for many, many years, alienated from her children, a teenage daughter.
About how old was she?
Mid to late 20s. She did phenomenally well. She held down a job. She kept a job. And we just heard from her recently. She moved on to independent housing, permanent housing, and she's now enrolled in community college. And I think that to take someone whose life, and that sounds a little arrogant, not take someone, but, to open the door of opportunity for someone, they have to be motivated, and we do everything we can to engage and motivate. And there are specific techniques that you can use to do that. But the bottom line, and we talked about this before the show, if someone isn't ready to change, they're not going to change. If someone doesn't really believe they have a problem, they're not going to get help for that problem.
That holds true for people who have been sent to rehab situations where they go, and they go. And they go through the program, but they come back and return to the addicted life as soon as they are returned because the decision wasn't really motivated on their own.
Exactly.
They were doing it because, number one, they had to, they were ordered, and they went, and they did it. And they come back, and they haven't had the change of mental attitude that says, I want to succeed. Yeah. How does the program for women and families help create a different thinking pattern?
Well, there's actually a specific program that we've been teaching and facilitating for a number of years now called Thinking for a Change. And it's an evidence-based program. It's been researched and documented as effective for incarcerated populations. So
give us an example of how that works.
Oh boy, I should have brought some of my staff with me who teaches this.
Just a little example of how you help a person, because we're very used to saying, you know, look, and you know you have a problem.
Yeah.
You know you've got this drinking problem.
Right.
What's it going to take to make you give it up? And that's not the way the program works.
It isn't. And I think, one of the most important things is how we communicate and what we say. Everyone at the program is helpers. We are the ones who are there to help. And what's really critical is, and we think we know the answers. We know what you need to do. But to say to someone, oh, no, this is what you must be doing. You have to engage people in conversation. You have to talk to them in a way where you're listening to what they're saying and how far they're willing to go. Ellie, change is really hard. Changing habits, changing behaviors. Anyone who's tried to quit smoking or lose weight or, you know, eat better and more healthy and exercise, it's really difficult to change. And you're not going to do it if someone says, this is exactly what you must do. And if you don't do it, you've failed. It is about meeting people where they are at. And the example that I gave of the young woman who didn't make it the first time in the day program, she wasn't ready. And it's about, you know, when she comes back, being supportive and listening and understanding. It's really being patient and trying very hard to pull back that instinct that as helpers that we have to say, but we know what you need to be doing. You know, can't you see it? We see it. And I think, you know, other stories where I've seen phenomenal change. A woman in and out of the criminal justice system her entire life. She was in her late 20s, early 30s, I think, by the time she came to us. And the drug rehab failed. She was in drug rehab. 2 weeks later, she found herself back in prison. And she had two older children who were teenagers, one daughter already involved in the juvenile justice system, two very young children, 2 and 3 years old at the time. And it just hit her, I have to stop doing this. And in her case, it was her children who motivated her. And the stories that she tells, and this is why, you know, the compassion and the what do you need to maintain a safe environment for your children, she would say, you know, when I finally made the decision that I'm done, I'm not going to do drugs anymore. I'm going to work very hard to hold down a job, struggled trying to get a GED. But she said, you know, I would go to the grocery store and my children would panic because they were afraid that I wasn't going to come back, because that's what they experienced, is that their mom would walk out the door and they wouldn't see her. There are children who've actually seen their mothers and fathers arrested and taken away. Young children, the impact that incarceration has on children is really dramatic. And that's another thing that we're trying to make some progress on. We're teaching parenting inside the county jails, and we'll be expanding into Northampton County this October. And this is focusing, again, specifically with women. The women who complete, I think it's 8 weeks or 6 weeks, eight classes, I'm not sure, can have contact visits with their children, which is really important, especially for the young children.
So you provide parenting classes for the women who are incarcerated.
Yes.
And if they complete 8 sessions or 8 weeks,
right,
they're allowed to have
contact visits with their children. It speaks very highly to both of our county jails, Lehigh and Northampton County, that they permit that. And it is so important to maintain that contact with the children. Young children really don't understand. All they understand is, you know, where's mom? They just need to see her.
Dr., would you give contact information for the program for women and families?
Sure. We can be reached by phone at 610-433-6556. and our receptionist can help you, direct you where you need to go in terms of any questions or services that you might need, or advice if you've got a family member who's incarcerated in a local county jail. We have a website which is in the process of being updated and should be, what time is it, by the end of the week, all up to date, and that is www.thepwf.org. Say that slowly. I usually go T as in Tom, H as in Harry, E as in Edward.
Well, I think that is wonderful, and I want to thank you, Dr. Joyce Doherty, Executive Director of the Program for Women and Families, for helping us to understand that the Program for Women and Families helps women offenders reuniting with their children, as well as service for at-risk youth and male offenders to reenter the community within a setting that helps to provide and create positive change. And not only change, but change in the way they think about themselves. Exactly. And the possibilities for a different kind of positive future. Your agency is an inspiration to us all. Thank you for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that there are second chances as provided by the Program for Women and Families. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.